opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
To me, the best fight of the night was Aldo versus Edgar. I think it's funny that Jose Aldo went 10 years without losing, was basically regarded by everyone as the pound-for-pound best in the world.
Yep.
Loses one fight.
It's caught.
In the flukiest fashion you could imagine. And everybody's like, nah, that dude lost it.
It was a punch. That happens, man. Everyone's got a button.
Yeah.
You get caught on that button and you go night-night. You're telling me that those were the five best fights in the UFC to put on a pay-per-view for their 200th card?
I'm telling you that there's never been a main card with five fights with fighters of that caliber.
But that's not the best fights they could have made, in my opinion.
They could have kept Jon Jones on the card, although that wasn't possible.
That wasn't their fault. Yeah.
They could have put McGregor Diaz on the card, and they could have tried to force Ronda Rousey to fight.
When they were started talking about 200, everyone expected to see McGregor and Rousey on the card.
And they got none of them.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
Let's rock and roll radio! Let's rock and roll.
All right, we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three. Barry Laminack in for Fred Fowler. It's flying by, man.
Yeah, pretty quickly.
The good thing.
Yeah. I'm kind of disappointed I'm not getting more hate from the Blitzers on the text. That's what I look forward to the most about doing this show, is that your listeners can be brutal.
Yeah.
And they're not bringing
it. That means
you're
doing a good job.
Either that or they're tuned out because they
don't
like you or me. They're here for the Fredster.
Both are possible for sure. The Houston Rockets made a decision to extend James Harden, which essentially added two more years to his Houston stay. And we've talked for the longest time there was no way to separate from him, because there are a lot of Rockets fans, especially last year, started to agree with my thought that the Rockets will never win as long as James Harden is here.
Okay.
I still believe that. So to me, I feel like you just extended your window of not being able to win a championship. Now, some people disagree, and that's fine. But this guy just had huge numbers, and you went 41-41. James Harden, he wrote a letter to Red Nation basically saying that he's obviously super pumped that he's getting $118 million to hang out here for the next 4 years. Which you wouldn't be. He said, I can assure you our team will work harder together, grow together, build together, compete together, and pursue our ultimate goal, another championship for H-Town together. There will be challenges along the way, but we will continue to fight. Everyone in the organization is locked in on the same goal. We're not a super team, but just a group of guys that want to work hard to be the very best, and our work begins immediately. That's him saying, basically, I know I'm the only good player on the team, but we're going to try really hard.
I know I mailed it in last year, but this time it matters.
We look forward to taking this incredible journey with all of you. With much love and great respect, James Harden. Everyone is excited, and listen, I get it. If you're a fan of a team, you get excited when they sign free agents, period. But adding James Harden, or extending James Harden, basically subtracting Dwight Howard, and adding in Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon, and Nene, I don't feel any better.
You don't smell that? Smells like a championship.
No.
No? You're not buying what they're selling?
It smells like a 41-41 season coming again. Without question, And I'll say I would bet money that one of those three guys misses at least 30 games this season, if not multiple.
Oh, they're all three going to miss games. Get ready for that. That is a mash unit. That is none of those guys. I think when I first looked up, they average less than 50 games or around 50 games a year over the last 8 years.
The one consistent defensive player you had on the team last year was Dwight Howard.
Gone.
And granted, I didn't like Dwight Howard being here either. I don't think. I mean, it's not like it was a dumb move to let him walk by any stretch. I don't think that I'm saying that. But you did nothing to replace his defensive presence.
No, especially down low. I mean, Ariza was a decent defender, not a great defender. Decent,
yeah,
and probably their second best defender. Yep. And I know there's a lot of people out there listening. They're going to say, "Oh, Patrick Beverley, man." Patrick Beverley,
Patrick Beverley was a backup point guard in the NBA.
Yeah, and they should change his nickname to Breakfast because he got burnt like toast quite a bit. He's not a good defender. He's just busy. He's active. He's like Clay Guida.
John, were you excited by the Rockets' moves?
Not particularly, no.
Let me ask you, because I know you're a Rockets guy, what's your projected starting five right now? If you're the coach and you see all the groceries you've got, which five guys are you putting out there?
You probably have Capella.
Okay.
I would put Demo at the four just because I don't think I like Ryan Anderson starting.
Okay.
And then you have Ariza, Harden, and Beverly.
So you're saying that Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon and Nene, the three free agent additions, are all bench fodder.
I can't put Ryan Anderson there, though. I can't put him in the starting lineup. And Eric Gordon, you probably want to limit the number of minutes he plays throughout the season because you know he's going to get hurt, and you want to, especially not make it to where you increase his odds of getting injured.
So essentially, what you're saying is, if you were the coach, you would have the same starting five out there as last year, except you would have Clint Capella in for Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
What are your expectations for, what's your expectations for win-loss this season?
I don't know. I think somewhere around the same. Maybe 44 wins.
I was going to say, I think you're looking at a much improved team, 42 and 40.
You see what I'm saying? I just can't get excited about any of this stuff.
It's a great point. What they did is they went out and added a bunch of guys that can fill it up when they're healthy.
Here's what I'll tell you.
Play no defense. Yeah. None. Like, these guys are some of the worst defenders in the league.
Yes.
That they've added. So this is going to be arena basketball. It's basically what you're going to see 120, 130 a night, and they're going to win or lose based on that.
My guess for what your starting five is going to look like is Capella at the five, Ryan Anderson as a stretch four, James Harden as a three, doing. It makes me feel queasy to even say this. Sort of running a point small forward like LeBron James does, but clearly not like LeBron James does. I think Eric Gordon's going to play the two, and Patrick Beverley's going to be the point guard.
Oh.
And I think that, like John said, you didn't get any low post defense. You didn't add to that in any way, which is one of the things they needed. I still think they needed to get a point guard this offseason. I know James Harden dominates the ball, but it'd be so nice if that dude didn't have to do everything every night. And there was actually someone else who could distribute the ball around some. They didn't address that. I don't have any confidence for this team improving whatsoever.
No, I don't think what they've done in the offseason has made them a better team. It may have made them a deeper team, but I don't think it made them a better team. Like, their bench might be better. I think their bench can score more. I don't think their defense, well, it may have actually gotten worse. Although Corey Brewer was not a good defender. Josh Smith was okay. But so they sacrificed below average defense for above average shooting on the bench is what they did.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you're right. And I don't know, have they've not re-upped with Demo yet, correct?
No.
But I could see Demo playing the center role on this team and being that center, and Ryan Anderson playing the four.
Oh, God. They are going to just be teams are going to be so – and that's the thing.
I think
about
they'll
this.
Do that so they can stretch the floor and have 4 3-point shooters out there.
But what are you going to do when somebody's body touches their bodies?
Because it's going to be a mass unit.
That means you're undersized at basically every position except the point guard.
Well, Demo's a 7-footer, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, what's he weigh?
Well,
I mean, Demo is not built to be banged around in the paint like that.
No, he's probably about 220.
So, Demo would be undersized as a 5.
Yeah.
Ryan Anderson, who's not physical at all, that's not his game, is not a physical game.
No.
And I'm not saying he's undersized for a 4, but he plays, he's not a guy who's going to go in and bang around.
No.
James Harden would be extremely undersized as a 3.
But I don't think you'll see him as a 3, though. That's going to be Ariza, right? They're not going to take Ariza off the floor.
So are you going to take Eric Gordon off the floor?
Yeah, I think you would use Eric Gordon as a 6-man.
You have another you have another scorer when you have to rest Harden, and that's, I think, what Eric Gordon's role is on this team.
They made it sound like they are excited at the prospect of having Eric Gordon and James Harden on the court at the same time.
I don't think you'll see that.
You'll probably see that to finish the game. You probably have Harden control the ball and have him be the actual "quote unquote" point guard.
I think they still think Beverly can play D, and that's where they'll have some front court D there. So Beverly is your point guard. Obviously, James is going to handle the ball, and then you have Ariza to kind of help fill in a little bit down low on defense as need be, or if Demo can maybe block a shot here and there. But that's your three best defenders, obviously. But I think James stays as the scoring threat at shooting guard, and then Eric Gordon gives you another score when you have to rest Harden.
Now, this is going to sound crazy, but I think you're going to get better coaching from what you got this past season. J.B. Bickerstaff did a horrible job managing the game in-game. Even whatever crap that we give Mike D'Antoni, I think he is still a better coach than J.B. Bickerstaff. And I also think that James Harden is not going to play like he did at the beginning of the season, which where they started off like 3-7.
Well, he was out of shape. There's no question. Yeah. He came in out of shape
and
not ready to go.
I think you're going to see an upward tick in wins, but they're not going to contend for anything.
You understand that J.B. Bickerstaff was the Rockets' defensive coach before he took over as head coach. So you understand, right?
When Kelvin Sampson left, that's when their defense took a dip.
But you understand that was his job. That was his specialty, was defense. And so you would expect that a team...
Well, he was also a horrible defensive coach.
Well, he wasn't great, but that was his specialty. So what do you think you're going to get now with D'Antoni?
Well, you're going to try to just outscore everyone. That's what you're going to try to do.
Here's the other thing.
Well, how if all those guys are hurt?
And this was an issue last year. It's going to be an issue again this year. The Rockets, and this is of contending teams, like of the teams that made the playoffs this year in the Western Conference, the Rockets are still the worst team at point guard.
Yeah,
and
by far.
Point guard has become such an important position, and they continue to. I mean, they're not even close.
No.
Not even like. If you say, well, Patrick Beverley's number 8 out of the 8 teams that made the playoffs, number 7 is probably Darren Williams. Well, Darren Williams is nowhere near what he used to be.
I would take it.
I'd take him in a heartbeat over Patrick Beverley. And then you're looking at these are your Western Conference playoff point guards: Steph Curry, Tony Parker, Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul, Damian Lillard, he's Darren Williams, good. Mike Conley Jr.,
yeah,
Patrick Beverley.
One of these things are not like the others.
Dude.
That is for sure.
Yeah. So until they fix that, I think they're going to struggle. I don't like the coaching change. And again, I think for me, I honestly thought that 2 years from now, we'd probably see a whole new regime because the James Harden experiment would come to an end. And when it did,
do you think though
we'd probably see Daryl Morey on the way out?
Do you suspect that Harden was the cause for the problems last year, or could it have been Dwight Howard? I mean, Dwight Howard, if you listen to the way people talked about him as he left Orlando, he was a cancer of the locker room. Are you sure that the majority of the blame doesn't rest on his shoulders in that locker room?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just a question.
Maybe in the locker room. On the court?
Oh, listen. No, don't get me wrong. James Harden, I'll say this in his defense. When he is committed to it, he can play decent defense.
He can.
The problem is...
He's never committed to it.
He's never... I mean, at one point on our...
Two years ago, he committed to it,
yeah,
and he almost won the MVP.
Exactly. And
this year?
And the year before that, I came up with a new stat called My Bads for him, and he would literally get seven My Bads a night. Yeah. Yeah, but
this year he had so many things on his mind other than basketball.
But he wrote a letter, AJ. He's committed.
Maybe
now.
So. Maybe he's changed his mind.
He's wrote a letter.
We'll take a couple calls on this on the other side. Quickly, I got to tell you about my computer career. If it's another boring day at the job you hate, or maybe you have to use a porta potty in the sweltering heat that bakes all day, and you've got eight dudes using it every day. Maybe you hate that job. Maybe you're not making enough money. Ask yourself this. How many people do you know who are working in the computer industry and struggling to make ends meet? Not if they're in IT. There's a ton of computer jobs out there. You're not working in the computer industry now, Barry. You're not working at all.
Well.
IT is consistently ranked as one of the fastest growing job industries in the country. And the place to go to get the skills you need, mycomputercareer.edu. There's a huge demand for certified pros. My Computer Career has job placement specialists that will work with you to get you hired. Houston's one of the hottest computer job markets in the country. There's companies all over the city hiring IT guys. But to get these jobs, you got to have the skills and certification. And I know what you're thinking. Going back to school is going to take me too long. It's going to cost me too much. Not in My Computer Career. In and out of school in less than a year. Financial aid's available, including the GI Bill. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. It's the first step to changing your life and making more money. Mycomputercareer.edu. Take their free career evaluation. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you.
This is The Blitz.
The Blitz.
On ESPN 97.5.
I buried my heart in a hole in the ground.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, it's The Blitz. AJ Hoffman, Barry Laminack in for Fred Fowler today. You can hear him on Sundays from 10 to noon on Houston Game Day with Mike Liebeschock. Let's take a couple calls real quick. Jason, you're on The Blitz. What's up?
Sports, guys.
Sports to you.
Hey, AJ, this question's for you because I know you kind of watched quite a bit of basketball. So, what starting five would you take? John's projected starting five for the Rockets next year. Or the Thunder's projected starting five with Westbrook, Robertson, Oladipo, Kanter, and Adams. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
I'll take the Thunder starting lineup for sure.
Just because Westbrook?
Because of Westbrook, Oladipo.
I was gonna say Westbrook, Oladipo, maybe.
Steven Adams is good. I mean, I like their lineup a lot better.
All right.
You don't?
No.
let's not get crazy.
Yeah. I'm trying to, in my mind, I'm trying to make a case.
No. Dude, I'll be honest, Rockets fan. I wouldn't go around comparing yourself to the Thunder or the Clippers or even like the Trailblazers. Y'all need to focus on, is the Rockets starting five better than the Kings starting five? Is it better than the Jazz? Is it better than the Nuggets? Because those are the teams you're going to be fighting for that eight seed with.
Yeah.
You know, the Pelicans.
Mm. Well, they pretty much have most of the Pelicans.
Yeah, they took they took all the guys that would have started for the Pelicans.
Yeah,
if they would have been held. Actually, Ryan Anderson's been a bench guy for the Pelicans for like the last 4 years.
Yeah, that's the thing is you never.
The savior here.
Yeah, it's not a good sign when you're going and getting the other people's bench and signing them to long term deals
to be
your starters. That's not a good thing.
Mark, what's up?
Hey guys, I hope you'll give me a few minutes here because I just got so many facts that I want to dump on you guys. I only want to talk facts here, okay?
Okay.
First one, the year 2015. You remember Harden's MVP season?
His almost MVP season.
Were you saying all the same stuff about him then?
Yeah, I said. Even as John, did I say I don't care how close this guy comes to winning an MVP, they will never win a title with him? John, can you confirm?
Right, so,
yes.
So I want to remind you how much of an impact Dwight had on that season, which is probably our best season of the last, I don't know, 10 years.
Okay.
Dwight was hurt half the season. That's a fact.
Yep.
When he was hurt, everyone else, all these role players, they all played well, they all played around Harden, and it worked. It worked fluidly. It actually made it look like Kevin McHale actually could run an offense when all it really was James Harden creating and everyone giving into their roles. So let's just not forget that year, because we seem to have short-term memory.
No, I haven't forgotten that year.
Go ahead.
Let's also remember that Dwight Howard was barely involved this year on the offensive end. I mean, they did everything they could to keep him from not touching the ball.
All right, so it's funny you say that, because here's another fact. Dwight Howard led the league, even over DeMarcus Cousins, in post-up possessions per game. At 9.6 per game,
because
he was number one.
That's the only place he gets the ball.
The closest was like two whole possessions behind. Okay, so I know we want to make excuses for Dwight, but let's look at the trend here. 2015, he misses half the season. We have a great year. Last year, he plays a lot more games. He had his crappy attitude all season. He was pouting. He even admitted to checking out of games, which all of us could see. I mean, it was disgusting to watch. Dwight Howard, 100%, was the problem. Just to hear you say it was hard and over.
While you're giving facts, let me ask you this. Who was the best defensive player on the Rockets last year?
What good is that? I mean, we were the worst defensive team in the league. So what is him being?
So you're saying if you're the worst defensive team in the league and you take away the best defensive player on the team, that's not gonna matter?
From 28 to 30 is not much of a difference, is it?
The problem was it wasn't their post defense that was bad. It was their transition defense.
Yeah.
It wasn't their post play down low.
I understand you're a James Harden fan. I stand by. The Rockets will never win a championship with James Harden on this team. I won't say that. They will never win a championship as long as James Harden is the best player on this team. If James Harden is the man on this team, and at this point, there's not many guys who could come here and be the man.
I'm not going to go that far, because you're discounting the fact that they got to the Western Conference Finals.
I know.
Two years ago, James Harden.
And had zero chance of winning it.
Who was the best player on the team at the time.
And had zero chance of winning it.
They got, somebody had to get there, and they did.
Okay.
So I'm not going to go as extreme as you and say they'll never win a championship, but this is not the supporting cast.
Getting close to a championship is not winning a championship.
What you need to support James Harden is a good mix of offensive players and defensive players, and they only have one half of that. There is no defense on this team, and like you said, their best defensive player is gone. And to me, that's what's going to limit them the most. In their pursuit for greatness, or whatever he said at the end of that.
Mario. Sports.
Oh, no. The other caller. That's not true, because James Harden, beginning of games, if he wasn't getting calls, he would check out of a game really quick. He had a lot of bad turnovers. I don't understand getting the bench, like you said, getting a bench player who has a bad back, a no-name like Eric Gordon, spending over $120 million on his free agent, and drafting a skinny guy from China and a fat dude from Louisville who can't shoot a free, he can't hit a free throw. I mean, is there another team in Houston? This is a terrible. I'm a Rockets fan.
Well, if he makes the free throws
granny style, doesn't matter to me as long as he makes them.
Yeah, I hope he does shoot them granny style.
Oh, he does.
No, I'm saying I hope he does in the NBA. I don't know if the coaches will let him.
Oh, sure. If he ever makes it.
Oh, if he ever gets it, I want to see that.
He shoots almost 60%, and he was shooting, like, I think, in the 30s before he went granny style.
So you get an upgrade there from Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard, I think, shot like 49% last year.
Dwight Howard should shoot them granny style.
That's true.
They interviewed Dwight Howard during one of these games with Nanu. Is it Nanu?
Nene?
Nano?
Oh, yeah.
And then they interviewed Dwight, and they're like, Dwight, will you ever consider shooting underhanded? And he goes, no.
No, he looked too stupid.
Yeah.
And Dwight cares about
it's
how
all
he
about
looks.
Image with Dwight.
Yeah. Tyler, you're on the Blitz. What's up, sports?
Sports, guys. Yeah, I wanted to call in. I mean, I'm a big Rockets fan, but I'm no homer, man. I think the Rockets now, I mean, they're probably just as good, maybe a little bit worse, than the team right before Dwight. You know, Chandler Parsons lost Thunder in six, you know, but I just wanted to see, you know, what y'all's comparison was to that, you know, to the caller before, man. I mean, there's not even a question Dwight was not majority of the problem, but I mean, let's say 60-40. You know, and they could probably, the Rockets can probably make some noise and get into the playoffs and, you know, not get a draft pick again. Maybe trade for somebody.
Here's the other thing. The Rockets have nothing to trade.
No.
The Rockets have zero trade chips.
Here's the problem is you know, he mentioned Chandler Parsons. Anderson and Gordon don't even play as good a defense as he did.
No.
That's the problem. You don't understand. These guys, when I say that they are bad in defense, these guys are bad. I think Shock read a stat the other day that said if you overall, they're in the bottom eight of all NBA players in defense.
Defensively, they're going to have a lot of problems. I think they'll be fighting for a playoff spot. I do believe that. But I don't know if they're going to make it. I don't know if honestly, right now, next season, would you rather have what the Rockets have or what the Minnesota Timberwolves have?
Timberwolves.
And the Timberwolves, honestly, won, I mean, they won like...
Because right now, outside of James Harden, there's not much there.
Timberwolves didn't even win 30 games last year.
Yeah, and they...
And I'd take what they've got coming into this season over what the Rockets do. All right, do you know that most carpet cleaning companies, when they come and do your floors, they leave the carpets dirtier than they found them? Not the case with Dirt Free. The other guys leave behind too much water, soapy residue, unhealthy chemicals that trap dirt and allergens that can make your family sick. Call Dirt Free Carpet Cleaning. 281 Dirt Free and go chemical free with Dirt Free Carpet. They use powerful engines to create high pressure steam made from their patented super water. Your carpets are fresh and deep cleaned without soap or unhealthy dirt attracting chemicals. They've been doing it for over 30 years, cleaning upholstery, floors, oriental rugs, even your air ducts. Call Dirt Free Carpet right now. 281 Dirt Free. Tell them you heard about it right here on ESPN 97.5. They'll clean three rooms of carpet for just $99.95 and throw in a free speed dry to the first 25 callers. That's 281 Dirt Free, 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free Carpet.
ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back on The Blitz. Normally we do the Dumbass Report in the last segment, but that's when we're going to have Glenn Davis, who was at the Hannah Davis and Derek Jeter wedding. That takes priority in my book. God, we had so much stuff to talk about. We didn't talk about Tim Duncan at all today, who...
Never heard
sir,
of
Tim Duncan hanging him up after a 19-year career. And I honestly think that there's not much discussion of who the best power forward in the history of the NBA is. And I think it's Tim Duncan easy. And I hear a lot of people who compare his basketball IQ to Olajuwon's. And they like, you know, which one of those guys would you rather have? I'd hate to be
To
be in a position to have to choose is what
okay.
I will say.
I was gonna say don't just
actually I'd love to be in a position where I had to choose and in fact I'd let someone else choose first and I'd take the other guy and be perfectly happy with it. This dude is one of the best probably 10 players who have ever played this game, and I think that there's people who didn't like him because they thought he was boring or whatever. To me, that's part of what made that dude so great is he didn't have to have all the flash and flair. And he,
can I tell you, though?
When you smack-talked him, he'd just ignore you. And
but, AJ, can I tell you that when they announced it, everything, I went out and I saw a link for a Tim Duncan's 10 greatest highlights of his career.
Are they and all bank shots?
No, it was 10 layups. No, it was the first two were basically him taking someone off the dribble and doing a one-handed jam. Nothing spectacular, mind you. And then the 8 and 7 were just three-point shots. They were literally just three-point shots. It was the most hilarious career highlight video I've ever seen. There was like one dunk that he got where he was going up one handed and finished with two and fell down. But there was no, like, the Big Fundamental was the best nickname ever because it was so true.
I will also argue, and you could argue as well, you could argue for guys like Hakeem, for instance, you could argue for Kevin Garnett. But and LeBron James at this point, I think Tim Duncan may be the best two-way player in modern NBA history, like offense, defense.
Yeah.
I mean, he was flawless on both ends. Dude won five rings. Five rings.
Is that why you give him the edge over somebody like Malone in the power forward?
Oh, yeah.
Because of the rings? Because Malone's numbers were better. I mean, Malone scored
more points and had more rebounds than Michael Jordan, but no one will say Malone's better than Michael Jordan.
That's a good point.
But, yeah, for me, it's Tim Duncan. It's not even close. But, well, maybe we'll talk about him some more tomorrow. I know a couple more people want to get on these Rockets. Let's talk to Joshua. Sports, Joshua.
Sports, guys.
Sports.
One thing I really want to touch on, I'm not a Houston Rockets fan. I do enjoy watching them at times, and when I do enjoy watching them, James Harden's probably sitting on the bench. One thing I do want to say about Dwight Howard is going against that previous caller. If I do remember that year that they had that great run, once they had actually reached the playoffs, Dwight Howard had a significant, huge impact in that playoff as far as being a post presence, also getting the ball a lot more and playing defense. And I think the biggest problem with James Harden and Dwight Howard being on that team is that Dwight Howard is, he reminds me of Jordan off the Clippers. And I think that the key to Dwight Howard playing well in a certain city is having a point guard like Chris Paul or of that play style actually utilize him in his post presence with alley-oops and doing everything that he does, as well as still contributing the defensive aspect of his game. And it just aggravates me kind of to how defensive people are for James Harden in the city of Houston. I live in Houston as well, and I don't enjoy watching the Rockets at all whatsoever, because I don't believe in defending a guy putting up 30 shots a game, scoring 30 points a game, and completely literally having a guy walk right by him through the lane off the dribble.
Well, who else was going to score on that team, though, if James Harden wasn't?
I understand James Harden is the best and most offensive, impactful player on that team. I personally would enjoy that Rockets team a lot better with someone like Patrick Beverley go ahead and take it over the point. No James Harden at all whatsoever, or even seeing Kyle Lowry go ahead and play that point guard position. And I think as a whole, the team chemistry would be better. You would utilize role players a whole lot more than you would forcing one guy to put up 25 to 30 shots a game, you know, and then completely those points being absolutely useless because you let somebody like Ricky Rubio or somebody just walk by you because you didn't care to play defense.
My big thing is when it comes to Dwight Howard and James Harden and the mess that was the Rockets last year is the thing that always bothered me about Dwight is you can't count on him when the game mattered.
Right.
Because they would go to hack a Howard and basically eliminate your second best player. And you had two choices. You either gave up the points or you take him off the court. And now you get into this battle of substitutions and whatnot. And at least, you know, I mean, James Harden could be on the floor when it mattered.
That said, in the playoffs, you know, in 2014 when they lost in six games to the Thunder, Tyler mentioned it earlier.
Yep.
He was easily the best player the Rockets had in the playoffs.
He averaged like 17, I think. Howard did. I think
he averaged 26 and 14.
Howard?
In the 2013-2014 playoffs. In that six game series, like he single handedly made that a competitive series. The year that they went to the Western Conference Finals, he averaged 16 and 14.
Yeah,
which is pretty solid as well.
But Harden averaged like 27 that year in the playoffs.
Right.
So I mean,
I'm talking about the 2013-14 year.
Oh yeah. Well, James averaged 26 both years.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, I thought that Dwight did a good job in the playoffs, but yeah, you're right. I mean, the hacker thing was an issue.
That's the most frustrating part.
I always was frustrated. I never liked Dwight's offensive game, which is basically limited to 2 feet around the rim, which is why he leads the league in possessions around the rim, post up possessions, because that's the only time he touches the ball is when he's posted up.
Sure.
Otherwise, I mean, and that's, you know, when you see guys like DeMarcus Cousins, that's what a big man to me should be, someone who can be all over the floor and touch the ball and make your team better all around and then can still go down and bang when he needs to. But that's just not what Dwight Howard is.
Nope.
Let's talk to Frank. One last call on this. What's up, Frank?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Sports, man.
I don't like James Harden. It's not because I'm a hater. It's just I don't like that, you know, going through the lane waiting for the foul call. But in his defense, he is leading shooting guard in steals per game. And he's leading shooting guard in blocks per game. And he's doing everything for his team. as being on the floor general, and putting up the most points. So I don't know if you guys have played basketball. So when you're scoring and you're on the court all the time and you're tired, it's hard to basically check the other best player on the floor. So you got to give him credit where credit is due. He's leading his team in basically all categories.
But this is what my point is. When that's what's happening, unless you've got a LeBron James, and I think we can agree, James Harden is not LeBron James. You can't win.
He's not LeBron James, but, you know, they give Jimmy Butler all this credit for being one of the best defensive players in the league. He's beating Jimmy Butler in steals and blocks, and he's leading the league almost in scoring.
Well, listen, while steals and blocks are nice numbers, look at defensive rating and defensive war. I mean, the guy is a bad defensive player. Does he get in the lane and make some plays? Yes. But overall, I mean, like you said, when you ask him to check the other teams too, which if it's a good one, he rarely does anyway. You know, they'll usually do something where Ariza or Beverly is playing against him. They do a decent job of trying to avoid him being on the other team's best player. But I'm not going to defend his defense at all, especially this year. Like you mentioned earlier, when they were good, you could see that he was making an effort on the defensive end.
His
effort is just not the same. All right, guys. Going to tell you one more time about attorney Gary Trichter. You know, those breath tests that the police give you, it's a very inaccurate, very unreliable test. It makes temperature assumptions that create artificially high results, then destroys the evidence that it checked, making rechecking and proving your innocence impossible. There's a lot of faults in that system. And, you know, juries are smart. They're going to notice the problems with that machine. Same with the blood test. They don't even test your actual blood with a blood test. They're testing the air above it, and they're doing it in a lab filled with chemicals. It's not like police forensic capabilities are the same as CSI, like the doctors on television. It's not like that. Police blood tests can't positively identify alcohol from other substances, can be easily contaminated. Don't believe what these tests tell you, and most smart people see that. That's where attorney Gary Trichter comes in. He's a DWI specialist. That means he's experienced in telling the truth about the science behind these tests. He's right here in Houston, one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the state. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI, DUI, or boating while intoxicated, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone, 713-524-1010, or visit TexasDWILaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter.
To the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I can explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
Joining us now on the program is the man who hosts Soccer Matters. In fact, the next show will be tomorrow at 7 o'clock. The great Glenn Davis is with us, who was at a special event this weekend. His stunning niece, Hannah Davis, got married to Derek Jeter, arguably the greatest athlete in the history of time and the greatest coxman in the history of time. But he found one to rule them all.
He was a bachelor? You can't hold that against him.
You cannot hold it against him. He was a
focused on his baseball career.
Of course. But something about your niece drug him in, and she sunk her claws so deep that he said, this has got to be the one. Where was the wedding? What was it like, Glenn? You were there.
Right, this is it.
How many people were there?
No one else had this. I'm fresh off the plane from Napa. So.
Are you going to talk about this on Soccer Matters?
No.
Okay, good.
No,
so I'm the only. This
unless
is an
somebody
exclusive.
Said they want me to talk about it, it's okay to talk about it here. So it was beautiful. It was in Napa. Obviously, it's wine country. It's absolutely gorgeous setting. It was held at a really cool sort of secluded resort. Very intimate wedding.
How many people is intimate?
Only 65 to 70. So it was really...
That's it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
You got to know everybody, which was cool on a Friday night white party where you had to wear all white and it was out on this beautiful croquet thing. And you really got to meet a lot of people. And so then when you go to the wedding, it's not like you're trying to introduce yourself.
Right.
You kind of already know everybody, so it's fun.
Who were the celebrities there?
Oh,
were there baseball players there?
Yeah, lots of them. Let's see.
So was A-Rod there?
No, he wasn't. No. Tito Martinez was there. Jorge Posado.
Andy Pettit?
Andy Pettit was not. Joe Torre, the manager, was there. All great guys, too. Who else from baseball? Harold Reynolds.
Okay.
Was at my table. I said Tito Martinez, right?
Paul O'Neill, Bernie Williams.
Bernie was there. Bernie's a really nice, laid-back guy. All these people were laid
Mariano
back.
Mariano Rivera, did he show? Did he? No.
He wasn't there. Hmm. I sat next to really stunning, nice girl named Carolyn Wozniacki, the tennis player.
Oh, yeah.
Dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you throw some game?
No.
You know J.J. Watt's been in that.
I. That's...
Allegedly.
Yeah, well...
Allegedly.
Yeah. I would only say off these experiences,
these
don't believe everything that you hear and read.
You as a bachelor yourself, I would hope. Yes. Like, I bet there was a bunch of models there too, right?
Well, my nephew's dating Hannah Ferguson, who's a Sports Illustrated model. She was there. I mean, she's a great girl.
Does Hannah have model friends?
No, most, honestly, quite frankly, there were very few single people here. Most, all these guys had, Ahmad Rashad was there, had wife or girlfriend. Who's the politician? He was a nice guy. He was always high-fiving
me. Ted Cruz.
No, not him. He didn't make the cut. This was it Harry Ford Jr.?
Okay.
From Tennessee, maybe?
Yeah. Did she ride in on the white horse from the Genie?
No, what was pretty cool was...
That would have been cool.
The beauty of this was that the area where they actually did their nuptials was about a 75-yard walk, so you saw everybody walking from a real long distance.
Now we know he didn't. Did she wear white?
Yeah.
Of course. They just made love for the first time.
All brides.
I'm just checking,
Oh, my brother-in-law had the best line to my niece.
My ex-wife wore black.
So how's married life when you saw her at breakfast?
That's right.
It was awesome.
Now, this
was great fun. Boys to Men played.
What?
Oh, really?
Live.
They were the band.
Yeah, we danced like everybody danced.
So did they play all night?
They played for about 45 to an hour, and then a DJ from Houston, DJ Premier from the Fifth Ward, spun.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
What Boys to Men sing? Did they do End of the Road?
They did a bunch of really funny stuff.
Did they do I'll Make Love to You?
They did that one.
Oh,
they
did. Did you have to defend her honor? Or?
They did.
No, they were married at this point.
Well,
he's allowed to make love to her.
I don't have to defend my niece. She can handle herself.
Yeah.
She's actually very good at maintaining her privacy.
Did you guys have to sign like waivers or like?
No, but there were no cell phones or anything.
Oh, okay. What do you do with your phone when something like that? Do you check it in somewhere?
I just left it in the car.
Do you think everybody did that, or did they have like a? Did they?
I didn't see anybody breaching what. Listen, the couple wanted that. The last thing you want to do is have somebody breach that. You don't breach that.
No way.
Well, they had a photographer there, so some of the stuff will start coming out, and the families get some of the stuff. But
I'm seeing some pictures of her. She looked
really
amazing.
Really wonderful time, and it was a great family moment for us, the Jeter family. I got to meet Derek's parents, wonderful people. It was just great. There was nobody who acted... dopey or
nobody trying to get like a baseball
anything.
Autographed.
Nobody fainted, nothing like that.
None of that.
Okay. Stuff.
Nobody got too drunk.
No, it was just all really low key. It was really relaxed. So it was fun.
I always hope like that when there's a wedding like that, that one guy, preferably a famous guy, like gets overserved and is just kind of an ass. You know, like it'd be really great if you were like, Jorge Posada got lit and was like falling down. He knocked over the groom's cake.
But I think you have to look at Derek Jeter and look at his friends. They're all under control, to what I know.
Yeah,
you know,
AKA
really cool
boring.
Guys. When I met some of his friends from his childhood, when I was at my brother's in the Caribbean, it was like, you know. You can't really judge somebody by meeting them once, but you do kind of factor in friends, don't you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, you're my friend, and I hope nobody judges me. You know, why would they judge me in a bad way if
That's
you're
right.
my friend?
That's right.
You know what I'm saying.
I'm proud to be your friend, Glenn.
I know. I'll need a bodyguard one
day. I am slightly disappointed you didn't try to have sex with Caroline Wozniacki. You're a single man.
You're
she's
single?
A single girl.
Yeah.
Super, super nice girl.
That's the time
super
at
nice
weddings.
Girl.
At weddings is the time, Glenn.
Yeah, no.
Were you
she's a super. I think she's doing well. She's a real good friend of Hannah's. So
was there no connection between you two?
Well, first
was there no chemistry.
First of all, she's just a really nice person. I don't think anybody was looking for chemistry.
Glenn, you're a single man. You're looking for. You see a hot chick, you're not like saying, Okay, let's see if there's
some chemistry here. Definitely really attractive, really, really nice.
But as a single guy, don't you, when you see someone that attractive, don't you instantly say, like,
I wasn't thinking about the personal sex at that marriage, to be honest with you. I was there just to support my family and
Derek and Hannah's sex only.
And or my life. No, I wasn't thinking about theirs either, quite frankly. Nor do I want to think about yours with your wife either. So,
God, I didn't need that image.
It's a bit of a scary thought.
Glenn?
It's a bit of a scary thought. Glenn, AJ's actually turning red, John. I actually turned the tables on him for once.
Thank you for bringing us into this great event. You are our...
Nobody else is going to hear this. No, so this is special to your show.
Our Hollywood insider.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wish you had had sex with Caroline Wozniacki and would tell us that tale.
You know, I just can't. I can't. There's things that just have to stay.
Not
at the
you
wedding.
Guys didn't even
had to stay in Napa.
You didn't even make out a little bit.
No, sir.
Okay. No. Did you get her a drink from the bar at any point? Did you say, "Would you like something to drink?" I'll be right back.
We had a great table. She was at our table. Tito Martinez was at the table. We had Harold.
I bet like at most weddings, you got to get up and go to the bar and get a drink. I bet at this they've got like people in suits that are going around getting you drinks.
Yeah, there were also four different areas that you went through, which kind of kept it cool because they were all different. And by the time you were at the end of the night, we were in this. It was called the Red Light Bar, which was, you know, we're throwing down. We had the music. Everybody's dancing.
Pay for sex.
Yeah.
Everything,
red light.
It wasn't that red light, but
no,
there were red lights.
It's free sex, right?
Nada.
All right. That's Glenn Davis. Soccer Matters tomorrow night. You're doing Soccer Matters. Is that correct?
It's a tape version because I'm heading to Los Angeles to do a Copa Libertadores game. But we do want a couple extra props in for Soccer Matters tonight. We gave you some exclusive content.
Absolutely. What did you think of the Euro Cup final?
Well, I'm going to be pretty honest here that I didn't get to see a lot of it because I was traveling. I did see pieces of it in the airport. I think that everybody thought once Ronaldo went out injured, you know, this has to be France. It's there for the taking.
France was a big favorite to begin with.
Yeah.
And then the best player got hurt and they still lost. They should be shamed. If they were South American, they would get their heads cut off.
It is an epic fail, I think, because you're at the pinnacle there. But I also think that sometimes when things like that happen, it can even heighten the pressure maybe a little bit. It could have worked in reverse, so we'll see.
Well, and the truth of the matter is, the French people can't be trusted. We can all agree on that. That's Glenn Davis. Soccer Matters tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Appreciate you, Glenn, and congratulations to your lovely niece and her lovely husband, who now makes love to her without anyone frowning upon
her.
They are no longer fornicating. Now they're making marital love.
Extremely nice couple, and
he doesn't have to wear condoms.
Two good families. I'm always going to say that.
Absolutely. Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you, guys.
All right, guys, that will do it for today. Thank you to Barry Laminack for sitting in and filling in for Fred Fowler today. He'll be back in tomorrow, and we'll try and do this again. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Stay sportsy, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.